Tonight, we're going to look at what God wants us to remember. Now, what we know about life for sure is this. Most of our memories consist of things we don't have any business remembering. Most of our memories that we have are of past, of whether it be sins or crimes or whatever it might be within our life, that God has forgiven us for, but we seem, and when God says, I forgive you, you and I are to leave it alone. That's like coming to the foot of the cross and you lay it down. You're not to pick up the baggage again. You're to leave it there. So what should we be remembering? What God wants us to remember. Psalm 103, verse 2. Praise the Lord, my soul, and never forget all the good He has done. Where do we walk away so often? Or you're listening to people that are talking about their life and the blessings in their life, and so often they leave God out of His name, out of the blessings. Never forget all the good He has done. Many people will remember, oh, you know, that I've done this on my own. I really worked my way through this, and I worked my way through that. I've done this, and I've done that. You know, and everybody else over here has helped me. And so often, they miss the whole point of praise. Praise the Lord, my soul. That goes to the depth of who you are as an individual. But never forget all the good He has done. Why do we forget? Why don't we forget the tragedies of life? Let's say that a tornado comes through. Well, why did God allow my family to be destroyed? We're the only ones in the community that even serve the Lord or go to church and all of this, and yet we're completely wiped out and the destruction is within our family. Praise the Lord and never forget all the good He has done. Do not forget how much He loves us. And the love that God has for us, whatever goes on in our life, Christian, this is a hard, hard lesson to learn. No matter what it is, God either allowed it to happen or He caused it to happen. Now, either way, God's paying attention. How do I battle then my feelings? Psalmist says, praise the Lord. You said, Lord, or would it not be, I came into this world with nothing and I'll leave it with nothing. Curse God and die, Job's wife said. Job, in his wisdom, there's got to be a reason for this. So therefore, he praised God. Listen to 1 Samuel 12:24. Worship Him faithfully with your whole heart. Keep in mind the great things He has done among you. Again, so many people want to remember the bad instead of the good. Sometimes they say the bad's easier to remember. Maybe that's because that we as human beings had rather remember bad than good. Maybe it is truly because, as the scripture says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Your battle, my battle, throughout this human existence is a battle within us, folks. When Paul is saying our battle is not against flesh and blood, when he, you know, when we're hearing that about the battle is a spiritual battle. We understand that, but it's going on inside us. And what we do so often is try to fight somebody else's battle that's going on inside them because we've given up on self. God says, why don't you look in my direction and keep in mind the great things that I have done among you. Prayer is not just a word. It's an action. Prayer is our relationship and our conversation with God. Prayer to God from us as Christians, our prayer, if it is for our good and does not harm another, is always answered. Now, why did it do it that way? God will not allow bad things to enter in. Let's say that when you lose your temper, if you ever have. Most haven't, I know. But if you ever have just lost that cool and you said something harsh or you've really gotten, you really jumped down in a ditch of life yourself and made a statement that you wish you hadn't made. Or you said, okay, Lord, I love them, but, why don't you just go ahead and kill them? And we get in those states so often and we forget. Here's what to remember about the past. You ready? Number one, remember when you first came to Christ. If we're going to get positive here, remember when you first came to Christ. Hebrews 10:32, first part. Don't ever forget those early days when you first learned about Christ. Folks, I don't care how bad it gets. If you will take your mind back to the exact time when you met Christ. I do it all the time in my mind about my call to preach. Anytime Satan is really working on me and all of this, I go back to the time when I knew God called me to preach, and when I stood up and announced God has called me to preach. I remember the greatness of that time and the mercy of that time, because there wasn't anybody in the community that didn't laugh at me. There wasn't anybody in the community that supported me in that. But I knew my calling to such a depth, I didn't care. It did not matter to me. My statement always was, from the time I began in ministry and all the battles and chaplaincy and all of this, was, go ahead. If you can stop the ministry God's called me to, it's just proof he didn't call me, and I don't want to be in it if he didn't call me. So over almost four decades later, I'm still preaching. But I remember back when Christ called me. Dealing with human beings, sometimes they get us sidetracked. Sometimes they will talk us out of something good and put in our mind something that is bad. And when that happens for a Christian, you praise God, because that means Satan, you're messing with him. You start messing with Satan, you're really getting on his toes. You know how a Christian knows when they're messing with Satan? All hell breaks loose. Everything starts falling apart around you and all of this. And then that's when some Christians who are young in Christianity said, I can't believe this. I cannot believe. I start going to church, I start serving God, and everything's went wrong. And many young ones will quit. And actually what they're doing is quitting God, because they did not stay long enough to learn the trust that God will place in a heart. Number two, remember the miracles that God does. Now, I kept that present tense, excuse me. Remember the miracles that God does. 1 Chronicles 16:12, remember the miracles he has done, his wonders, and his decisions. Now, think of this from the positive note, and it'll be a good lesson for us. When you're thinking about all the decisions that you have made in your life, I guarantee you, any decision that God laid on your heart is a good decision. Only decisions I've ever made that were bad, I made. Deuteronomy 7:9. Remember that the Lord is the only God and that he is faithful. Folks, there are so many people worshiping so many gods out there, and every one of them stay confused. Remember James says, sort of like the waves of the ocean, everybody's tossed to and fro. You got a good sounding voice coming over here on this side. Well, let's go there. They go there. Then they run back. I've got to find this. I've got to find my connection with God, the Creator. And they said the man upstairs and the big man and all of this. And of course, I'm covering my ears on what that does to me to hear it. But, folks, I don't have to run anywhere. Neither do you. You all know that. None of us did. All we had to do was fall right to our knees, right where we are, and God comes to us. He's always come to us. He's always been the one that convicts our heart. What to remember in the present? Remember to be gracious. Be gracious. You know, we've received so much grace. You and I know that we live by grace. And we've seen so much grace. We've seen so much of God's love. We got to remember to be gracious to others. The hardest thing I ever learned to do in the ministry as chaplain was to be gracious to criminals. So then I realized I was only gracious to the part that God blessed on them. You got to love people and hate what they do if it's wrong. Colossians 3:13, make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's a pretty powerful message there, isn't it? Make allowances for each other. Well, I do that all the time when I'm talking about Chelsea. I say, why is Chelsea? She can't help it. And you know, then John, her husband, says, well, that's Chelsea, Brother Larry. She can't help it. So, yes, ma'am, go ahead. Sorry, Chelsea.
I was just thinking of when someone wrongs you and it's by accident,
yeah,
it's easier to forgive them and be gracious toward them than someone who is intentional with what
yeah.
they do.
It is much easier. Now, but if you think about it from doing this, when you're wronged, some people that do it intentionally, that's a different term then. Anyway, so when they do it intentionally to hurt you, forgiveness is still required from us. But in the wisdom of that forgiveness, you don't have to be around them again. I mean, I've forgiven a lot of people in my life, but I tell you, I have no intention of being around that crew that stabbed me. You know, I do not want to get back in and say, boys, let's see if you can do it better this time. You see what I mean? But I can forgive them, but I will not associate with them. Many people think forgiveness means that you become buddy-buddy. No, it doesn't. You better use a little wisdom there in that. And what we deal with more than anything on this is the hurt that we're having. And you get right back in that same situation, I got news for you. You're going to get hurt again. When these women that go right back to a man after it beat her half to death, I do not understand it. I'm sorry. I really don't. But they will do that, and I feel for them, and then I get mad at them. Especially when they say, but Jim Vance, you don't understand. I love that man. I said, you need to love that man at a distance, woman. Okay. Remember to be generous. Acts 20, verse 35. This is in the present tense. Remember to be generous. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Folks, you will never, and you may think that this is a trite statement, you will never, ever outgive God. All of us who have ever given, yep, you never will ever outgive God. How many times, again, you help people and you do this and you say, I'll never do it again. And next time you see the tear, let me tell you, I do it and I quit condemning myself so much for doing it because I'm not there. I don't know what waits for them when they walk through the doors at home. I do not know if they've been ordered by their husband to go out, you find food or you get another beating tonight. I don't know what goes on at home, so therefore we do our part. I'd rather mess up that way, hadn't you? Yes, yeah. And you give from the heart for the right reason. If they misuse it, that's between them and God. 2 Corinthians 9:6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Well, you know, I always got tickled with people who would say, well, now, Brother Larry, do I tithe from my gross or from my net? And Brother Larry would say, if I were you, I wouldn't even tithe. I can't believe you said that. Well, I can't believe it. You'd ask me whether you tithe from the gross or from the net. It's not coming from your heart. It's coming from your brain. You give from the heart. You know, we deal with the 10%, and if it bothers you, then don't give it. I personally love, and this may be selfish of me, I enjoy the blessings. So I'm going to, and I keep receiving blessing after blessing. I enjoy it and appreciate it. And so figure more blessings. If somebody else don't want the blessing, I'll take it. 2 Corinthians 9:13. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts, for your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. You want to know what or who you serve? Look in your life and you see what you pay the closest attention to. If you pay more attention to the money, the smell of the money, the feel of the money, if you pay more attention to that, that is your God. Do I want to know whether or not I'm serving the Lord? Then what God am I serving? Well, what's on my mind most? Is it God? Is it money? Is it pleasure? What saturates my mind? That'll let you know which God you're serving. You might not want to look too deep without being ready to pray when you do that. Yes.
If you give to God that money, you will get the pleasure.
Yes. Yeah. And those who do realize it, and many Christians know it would be, but they're afraid to trust faith. They're afraid to step out on that faith, but, you know, I know the scripture said, cast your bread upon the water and it'll return. I know all of the scripture, but, and then they make this mistake. I'm going to try it and see if it works. Oh, gosh. And then I say, it ain't going to work. Don't try it. Keep it. I remember well offering anybody, and why, you know, I said, anybody in this church, still do. Anybody in this church, go ahead and tithe. If at the end of the year you don't feel you've been blessed, you'll get every dime back. But it didn't work because we're still trying to make up money for windows. And but I don't understand. And it's more, God will bless you more than getting it back, whatever do. But what to remember in the future? Remember that God will be with you. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, these are some good scriptures tonight. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You're going to get a little hot. You're going to get a few blisters. But you will not be consumed by the flames. You see, when you're remembering what is positive, you remember what is positive through the power of God. And when you remember that in your life, you're more apt to step out in faith if you believe what the scripture says. Hebrews 13:5. God has said, I will never abandon you or leave you. No matter where you are, God's there. No matter what the situation. Many people have said, you know, well, I guarantee you, if I decide to go in that bar over and get drunk, God ain't going. And I said, I guarantee you, if you're a Christian, he's going right in there with you. So therefore, you are going to take God into the bar to get drunk. And how do you glorify God in that? Okay. Number six. Remember that God finishes what he starts. Oh, I love this. See, God started with me. You remember when God started with you? It's called birth, really. God started. And God says, I'll finish. Now, my salvation process started from God. So God started my salvation. Scripture says he'll finish it. God started me in ministry. God says, I'll finish my ministry through you. You see, you all are stuck with me until I finish the ministry God called me here to do. I have no power or authority to back off from what God has called me to do. But when I'm finished, I'm going home. I'll see y'all later, but I'm going on home. I'm excited about that. But you and I have a responsibility right here and right now to stand until the Lord comes. And it goes right back to that same scripture, doesn't it? When the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Philippians 1:6, be confident of this, that God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Remember, anytime you read the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, anytime you read that, that's the second coming. That means the second coming in the day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God, who got you started, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, will never give up on you. Never forget that. Have you ever given up on somebody? I mean, I have many times. I think, gosh, there's nothing else I can do. You know, just lock them in a hole somewhere. I give up. But one thing, you know, God never said that about me. The Lord never said, oh, I give up on you, Larry. Go, I'm going to lock you in a hole somewhere. Oh, and by the way, while I'm thinking of that, the place in hell that I talked about Sunday night is called Tartarus. Tartarus. Tartarus is only one time. It's in Peter. Matter of fact, hang on, those of you who are listening now, you know, I'm digressing here. Wait a minute. I'll give it to you. 2 Peter 2:4. As the Greek word is translated in hell, it is used only once in Scripture. In 2 Peter 2, verse 4, it refers to the place where angels who sinned are reserved in chains of darkness for judgment. The angels in Tartarus are held in gloomy dungeons. These same angels are also mentioned in Jude 6 as the angels who abandon their own home. All right, I told you all. Now, I'm sure glad, yeah. It's driving me nuts. Actually, it was Mitch that at 10 o'clock at night that notified me of it. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. Okay. And Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Whoo, listen to this. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God does not plan on us failing. Christians can never fail. We may not walk where the Lord has called us to walk, but we will never fail going into the promised land God has said that will be given to whosoever calls on the name of the Lord.